Hi, welcome to Counting the Beat. This week, a special, bringing you interviews and highlights from the 2008 Silver Scroll Awards. What distinguishes the Silver Scrolls from other awards, like the TUIs, is that it's a competition based purely on songwriting rather than commercial considerations. And the winner is selected by his or her peers, the other musicians who are members of APRA. This year was the 43rd Silver Scrolls, and Counting the Beat went along to capture the highlights and to talk to some of the nominees. One of the songs nominated in this year's awards was Come On Baby from LMNOP. I caught up with songwriter Dave Gibson.
Here's a little story that should be told, with a whole lot of heart and a little bit of soul. Well, we're all stuck in dead-end jobs, but the party's at the back, so baby, come on!
I just wanted to ask you a little bit about the song, Baby Come On.
Yep.
So you've used a lot of really classic elements in it. You know, you've got the hand claps and the woos and, yep, and the baby.
Yep.
So I was just wondering about how you kind of, when you approach the songwriter, did that make it easier or harder to write the song when you're using all those classic elements?
Yeah, I think you're right. There's a whole bunch of classic elements in there. It actually, it kind of came from a feel first. That's where it came from. And, it, you know, we just, you know, that classic kind of drum beat that it is, that you're hearing like a David Bowie song or like, you know, Close to Me by The Cure, or, you know, there's a really great song every like 10 years with that kind of drum beat. So it kind of, you know, came across from that. Was it harder once we had it? Probably not. Like, I like working within kind of certain structures or, you know, kind of frameworks, you know. And it, you know, like most of the songs that we think that are good, it kind of came quite quickly. Yeah.
And, I mean, on your latest album, that third album, you kind of seem to have tapped into a bit of a pop vein, really.
Yeah, I mean, this is, yeah, I think this is very, very poppy. Like, I think for this album, the third album, we felt like, you know, we didn't really have anything more to prove to anybody, and we just wrote songs that we wanted to write. Like, a song like Baby Come On, I think on our second album, you know, if we'd written it then, we might not have put it on because it might have sounded a bit not tough enough or something, or like, you know, not heavy enough. But this album around, we just felt like we're completely without any chips on our shoulders or anything, and we just did what we wanted to do, you know. So as a result, you get these songs that, you know, yeah, are like super pop.
Yeah. The story in Baby Come On, it's probably not one much to the liking of, you know, politicians who are trying to tell us to save and all the rest of it. Tell us a little bit about what the song's all about.
Oh, it's just about being a little bit frustrated, really, and, you know, be juggling, really. Like, as a musician, and I gather a lot of people probably feel this, they have their passion, and then they have their job. And it's about the little bit of frustration about that. Like, I have the same thing, you know, I don't actually do LMNOP all the time. I have a business too, and you know, I love lots of that business. Actually, it's a merchandising company called Closet, .co.nz, and I love it, but there's all sorts of boring elements to it, like, you know, accounting and invoicing and stuff that I'm just not great at. So all those lyrics came about through real life, and about just kind of letting it all go on the weekends, you know. Slamming on the credit card when you know you shouldn't.
As well as being a celebration of New Zealand songwriting, the Silver Scroll Awards are an event unto themselves. And that's because each of the nominated songs is performed by another New Zealand musician.
And to perform, Baby Come On, 1999 Silver Scroll winner, back stronger than ever with his band Prophets of Organised Rage, King Kapisi.
What's up, everyone? Everybody say ho! Say ho! You guys all right out there? Ready, bro? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Little story that that should be told with a whole lot of heart and a whole lot of soul. We're all stuck in dead end jobs, but the party's out the back, so baby, come on. Here's a little story that should be told with a whole lot of heart and a little bit of soul. We're all stuck in dead end jobs, but the party's out the back, so baby, come on. Tired of the friction, I could use a little fiction. Just an ounce of satisfaction, break away from all this social meditation.
Standing right in front of me, looking through my TV screen, I am thinking about the rent.
Here's a little story that should be told with a whole lot of heart and a little bit of soul. We're all stuck in dead end job, but the party's at the back, so baby, come on. Here's a little story that should be told with a whole lot of heart and a little bit of soul. We're all stuck in dead end job, but the party's at the back, so baby, come on. The L, the M, the N, the O, the P, the P, the P. That's right. What you need are clashes, prophecy, proof of tints and glasses. What a ride, won't you need some matches? Yeah, yeah! I don't ride, what you need are glasses. What you need, pens and tints and glasses. I don't ride, won't you need some matches? Yeah, yeah! Boom! He's out the back, so baby, come on. Apple Silver Strokes, make some noise. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
The Phoenix Foundation were also nominated in the Silver Scrolls for their song Bright Grey. Unfortunately, most of the band had missed their plane from Wellington and didn't make it to the ceremony, but Luke Butter was there, and I caught up with him for a chat.
This has been a big year for your band, because you've got a great third album, you've got members putting out some really exciting solo albums, there's the film soundtrack.
And everyone in the band's putting out stuff this year, I think, actually. It's a bit ludicrous. I think people are going to get sick of it.
Well, it's a huge bunch of songs coming out of one band.
Well, you know, what happens is that in the things, it takes a little bit of it takes a bit of a push to get your song into the band. For one thing, Sam Scott just kind of come out of him. So, you know, you're at band practice and he goes, "Well, I've got this song, or that song, this song," and for me, it's like, well, I've got this kind of half song, and you just end up working on one that's finished. So everyone in the band, not to say that Sam doesn't, is like some kind of dictator or something, because that's not the way it is, but you just end up... So anyway, we need, you know, you can't have too many chefs or something. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I haven't had much sleep.
I mean, what I was wondering, with all of this action and all of the, you know, and the album, the solo albums, the film soundtrack, the award nominations, does this feel to you like a culmination of what you've been trying to do, or is it a launching point?
I think it's just the, you know, another step, I suppose. It feels good. I went to Slow Boat Records, the best record store in Wellington, the other day, and I looked in the Phoenix Foundation, you know, section in the New Zealand Music, and there was something like 8 CDs, and there's going to be 3 more by the end of the year, and I'm thinking, I like that. I like a body of work, you know. That's something that I've always sort of wanted, and now I'm sort of in this group of people who... I mean, that's the thing about our band, I suppose, this current lineup. If the band did split up, I think everyone who's in the band would still do music, whereas in other lineups there are people who, well, they were just in a band because they're into it, but they're not necessarily, it's not, you know, it's not the fire that burns their soul, or, you know, whatever.
I mean, it seems to me that the music that you're making at the moment fits right into the, you know, the vein of popular indie music, which is kind of taking off around the world. And I just wonder, like, I mean, do you feel some frustration that it's hard to get into that? You know, if you were in another country, I'm sure you would be fated as much as some of those bands, but here you are with kids in New Zealand.
This is a interesting reasonably perceptive point. Yeah, shit, yeah, of course. You know, 30 in February, half of the band are 30, and I'm the only guy with kids. We are thinking of going to London for a few months next year, but it's going to be a mission, you know. We don't make enough money to sort of support a life in London, let alone with 2 kids, which then makes it harder, because then she can't work either. Sarah, she's an artist anyway, so, you know, we're in financial hell anyway, musician and artist. That's why we're training the kids to be a lawyer and an accountant. Yeah, it's interesting, because we have been to the States 3 times, and one thing that I, you know, before we went the first time, I had these, well, we all, I think, had, you know, lots of self-doubt. Are we going to be, found out, you know, when we hit the test match arena? Are we going to be, you know, shown a sort of NPC? No, sorry. But actually, you know, when we did play shows to lots of people, it always went down well, and I sort of, you know, with all due respect, I liked my band more than most of the other bands there, and it was kind of like, oh yeah, well, we... But it's such a huge beast, the States, that it's just like, you're not going to do it in 2 weeks, you know? You've got to sort of move there or whatever, and I can't really see myself doing 100 gigs a year, you know, without getting paid for them, basically. I could see it if it was, you know, nice hotels, and but that's not going to happen without the rest of that, so... I don't know. We'll see. Interesting question, though. I could talk about that for hours, though, so, you know. yeah.
And, I mean, you're also up this year for a whole bunch of TUIs. And, I mean, there's a different feel between these awards, the Silver Scrolls and the TUIs. And I wondered, is there, you know, I mean, it must be kind of affirming that being nominated for both, but is there one that means more than the other, or one particular award that you'd really like the Phoenix Foundation to take out?
I think this one feels, well, you know, it's sort of all the other members of APRA, meaning all the other songwriters and composers. I mean, this one probably, I don't know, it's a hard thing. Awards are a funny thing, because I was just saying, it's like a review, you know. If you get a good one, it's great, and if you get a crap one, you just put the magazine away, you know, and it doesn't mean anything. It's almost, these things are almost better for, you know, the parents, you know, who are going, oh, when are you going to be able to afford a house? You know, are you going to get a real job? And it's like, well, look, we won this award, so we must be doing okay. This one probably means more. I mean, they only put, you know, there's only one a year, you know, so, whereas with the TUIs, there's a whole bunch of them, so, but I don't know, let's take all of them.
Our next performer wants to figure a way to reproduce with machines, to grow an album in her tummy so that all she would need to do is have exciting relations with some good-looking technology for 40 minutes and leave her body to do the rest. She is Annabelle Alpers, and tonight she features a collection of vintage synthesizers, drum machines, real drums, bass guitar, and whatever else was lying around her bedroom floor the day she drove up from Wellington. She is Bachelorettes, and she's performing Phoenix Foundation's Bright Grey.
Thank you.
recent years it's become custom at the Silver Scroll Award ceremony to make an induction into the New Zealand Music Hall of Fame.
They might be the unlikeliest stars in New Zealand music history. Two yodeling lesbians from Huntly. Ladies and gentlemen, in their 50th year, that's 100 years of the Top Twins, on behalf of Rhiannon's and APRA, it's my distinct pleasure to induct into the Hall of Fame the Top Twins.
We'd like you people to know that we're in control here. Thanks very much. You know, someone said to us tonight when we kind of knew, they told us a little bit because we had to be here, and they said, what characters are you going to play tonight? And I said, oh, it's going to be really easy. We're just going to be 50-year-old lesbians. And that's a pretty easy character to play because, you know, that's us, I suppose. We've had a wonderful career. It's been just sensational right from the word go.
We have milestones from the album Grass Highway. Here to perform, the fantastic duo of Reb Fountain and Johnny Barker.
Check.
Hello. One, two, buckle my shoe.
It's just another highway, just another roadside cafe. It's just another airport, just another train stop away. It's just another milestone on a long traveling day. And how does the grass grow on your side of the fence? And how does the moon shine on your side of the world? If I kiss your mouth with mine, you say I was out of line. It's just another time, just another clock on the wall. It's just another hero who's waiting to fall. And how does the wind blow on your side of the earth? And how do the clouds fly on your side of the sky? Place to rest my head. It's just another feeling, and there's no one in my bed. How does the rain fall on your side of the road? And how does the sea melt on your side of the snow? Just another highway, just another roadside cafe. It's just another airport, just another train stop away. It's just another milestone on a thank you.
Now, tonight you've received an award for songwriting, and I suppose a lot of the New Zealand public would see you as kind of light entertainment, you know, television people. So how does it feel for you to be acknowledged in this arena?
Well, I guess in some ways, you know, we have characters and we do comedy and all that stuff, you know, songs have to be written for those characters. And that's always been a very big part of our, you know, whole profession. So, and we've both written the songs. And the other thing too is that, you know, what we really need to remember in a lot of ways is the songs that we first started writing were really political. And we wrote all about the nuclear free and radiation and all those sorts of things, and right down to popular pop tunes like Untouchable Girls. And so I guess in a way, you know, the music has been the vehicle. The comedy and the characters has been the entertainment, and the music that we've written has been the vehicle that got us through that. So I think it's a very important part of the whole process, and it's great to have been honoured to have been accepted into the Hall of Fame, yeah.
Gray Bartlett spoke out earlier this year about country music and how it wasn't receiving the recognition that it should, and he was quite critical of the way that media have treated country music. But I suppose there's an irony in the fact that now, you know, you being country musicians are being honoured in this way.
I think there's always been this whole idea that, you know, country is, you know, there's this standing joke that if you play the record backwards, you get your car, your house and your wife back. And, you know, it's not like that at all. A good country song tells a great story. And sometimes the best song is a song about, it's a story.
It's also been given that sort of, you know, that redneck, you know, label. And I suppose, you know, we've dispelled that quite a lot, you know, a couple of yodeling lesbians singing country music, you know. So I think that, and that's something that we've been really, you know, aware of all the way through our career, is that we grew up on country music, and country music is really our genre.
And it's our roots, really.
But it's also, but we've taken it somewhere else almost, you know. We're not afraid to call ourselves country and western singers, but we've taken it somewhere else.
I've always felt that you've managed to kind of skirt the line between being within the genre and take the mickey out of it.
Yeah, in order to take the mickey out of something, you have to know how to do it properly. So, you know, we've always had this motto that we've never put anything down. We've only ever sent something up. So I think, you know, we've tried to do the music as brilliantly as we can. And, you know, we never really have thought of ourselves, or we've never, you know, formed this idea that we're just songwriters. You know, for us, really, I mean, the accolade tonight really is to be entertainers. And, you know, that's a hard job in some ways, to sing a song. And, you know, most people can sing a song, even in the bath. But to be an entertainer, all the people that are here being honoured tonight are true entertainers. And, you know, that's a very big part of the songwriting deal.
Now, obviously, you're renowned for the yodeling. Any chance of a yodel for Waiheke Radio?
You'd have to ask Linda. She's the yodeler in the family. She'll give you a yodel.
We'll just do a quick little one, all right? If you're standing by the radio, it's probably best to move away, because, you know, it might blow you across the room. Okay, here we go.
Another award made at the ceremony is the Sounds Contemporary Award for Contemporary New Zealand Composition.
Wax Lyrical by Chris Gandol, the winner. Okay.
Thank you very much to Sounds and APRA for this award. It's very, very nice.
To perform Chris's work, Wax Lyrical, is a challenge at the very least. But willing to take up that challenge for you tonight is a legend in New Zealand's improvised music scene. Would you please welcome to stage Chris O'Connor?
So this was a commission, so it was asked for by a contemporary ensemble in the States. It was for a kind of an instrumentation I'm not very used to, kind of a delicate instrumentation, instruments like harp and strings and woodwinds. And so I kind of decided to transform that into something very, very aggressive and very kind of intense, and that was just a search for an unusual or exotic form of aggression was the whole idea behind this piece.
So what do you normally write for?
So I think I'm normally used to things that are a little more comfortable with that kind of expression. So, you know, percussion and even like an orchestra can produce that with much more frequency than...
Do you think that was the writing for a different sound that drew something out, which has set this piece apart from perhaps, you know, earlier works or the other works that were up tonight?
I think that maybe writing for this particular group of players who I knew were very apt and would be both willing and particularly interested in playing something very, very difficult. It lent itself to a kind of limitlessness that I was really fond of when I was writing, and that's how the piece resulted.
So in a country the size of New Zealand, you know, writing contemporary music is going to be a bit of a challenge for anyone, but you've managed to kind of hit the winning run, so to speak.
Yeah, it's actually a much more kind of vibrant scene than I think than I think a lot of people realise, and even compared to very large places like the States, New Zealand has a very good music scene with excellent players and really innovative composers as well. So it's sort of a beautiful little outpost.
And of course, it wouldn't be an award ceremony without a winner and an acceptance speech.
We come now to the time when we shall find out who is taking away the Silver Scroll for 2008. To present this award, a woman who's won a Silver Scroll 3 terms running. Here's hoping there'll be one for the fourth. Would you please welcome a champion of the New Zealand arts, the Right Honourable Helen Clark.
It's now my pleasure to make the announcement you've been waiting for, the APRA Silver Scroll Award for 2008, and the winner is One Day by Op Shop, Jason Kerrison, Bobby Kennedy, Matt Tracy and Clinton Harris.
Thank you. I don't quite know what to say except I'm really, really honoured. It's a real privilege, particularly, you know, to be given this award from our peers. It's a privilege to be acknowledged in such an amazing night. We've had such incredible people come forward, you know, particularly the top ones. I mean, the Grant with those guys and copying them, dancing in the living room in Invercargill to, you know, we're untouchable, untouchable, untouchable. So thank you once again to all the musicians and the songwriters. And look, I just want to also acknowledge the people that we were in contention with today, because, you know, I seriously didn't think it was ours. You know, it could have been any one of those guys, and they're such great songs. So let's all please put our hands together for the other finalists.
Now, I read that when you were writing this, you were trying, I suppose, a songwriting experiment of channeling John Henley. So tell me a bit about that.
I had a gig in Tauranga, actually, with a friend of mine. We're just in an acoustic jam session. I was driving back from Tauranga to Auckland and was listening to national radio, actually, and heard an interview with Paul McCartney. And Paul McCartney was talking about how he had written Let It Be. You know, Let It Be, Let It Be. And I remember thinking, wow, that song to me
even occurred as a kid as a really, really soulful song, and nothing like any of the stuff I'd heard before from Paul McCartney. And the reason it sounds like that, apparently, is because he was trying to channel Ray Charles, which I thought was really interesting. So I kind of thought I'd take that idea and run with it, and had kind of stuff that I wanted to deal with and expel, and it ended up in One Day as a song that was kind of written, you know, with Don Henley in mind.
Yeah, and it doesn't sound like the Eagles or Centrefold. So at what point did it go from being a Don Henley song to being an Op Shop song?
Oh, I guess as soon as I opened my mouth and started playing guitar, really, because it's all very well having the concept, but at the end of the day, Don Henley didn't write it, did he? Yeah.
Now, I wanted to ask you about the instrumentation of the song and the musical part of the song, because you've got these big swelling strings in there, right? Now, when I hear it, I hear this big power ballad, a big 80s power ballad, and I'm wondering how you settled on the instrumentation and the musical setting for the song.
It was an interesting run, actually. Firstly, I should really tell you, we being me, wasn't completely convinced with One Day being a, let alone a single, actually even being on the record. Excuse me. Once we're convinced about that, it was the conversation was around, look, we don't have to have it sound like a folk ballad, which is what I thought it really felt like. So the producer, Greg Haver, at the time said, well, why don't we try on a different context? You know, why don't we do this Bowie thing where, you know, I'll just throw some words at you and you just have that set up a vibe in your imagination and we'll go from there. So we started talking about space cowboys and, out in the prairie and that kind of stuff, which is kind of weird, I suppose. But who would have thought that there'd end up being an aurora? There's this thing called an aurora on the record, and when you're listening closely, you can hear that it's more like they call them euphoniums. I think that's what it is. Yeah. But the strings just, you know, it gave it an extra depth. It made it so lush, and it's pretty simplistic, really. There's not much else going on other than acoustic guitars, drums, some strings, and an aurora.
So when you play it live, I mean, it must come out a bit differently then. I mean, it sounds to me like a real lighter-in-the-air song.
It's interesting. When we play live these days, because we want to really capture the feel of the album, we end up using quite a lot of the backing tracks from the album, things they call stems. So Bobby has a click in his ear that kind of tells us where we are in the song, and we do actually have accompanying us most of the stuff and the textures that you hear in the album, you know, weird guitar sounds and you know, the strings that we mentioned and the aula as well. So it doesn't sound too dissimilar from what's on the record, except for there's live performances from all us guys. Having said that, we did a gig in Wellington where I think it was about 7,000 people or so at Homegrown, and our machine, when we plugged it in, started arcing and actually smoking. So we had to kick that to touch and ended up just playing a gig like a regular old band op shop would, you know. So and it seemed to work. In fact, it was quite affirming to know that we could get by without all the fancy gadgetry.
To perform Op Shop's One Day, please welcome the beautiful Madeline, Angie and Priya, the Sammy Sisters.
Kia ora, everyone.
Hello, Auckland.
Hi.
Absence make her heart grow fonder while I'm conquering the last frontier.
Awesome.
One of the many highlights of the Silver Scroll Awards is the grand finale, where a New Zealand classic song is given extravagant treatment.
To perform heavenly pop hits like never before, please welcome James Tibbles on the Auckland Town Hall organ, the Cornerstone Bell Ringers, the Auckland Youth Choir, and of course, Martin Phillips and the Chills!
To believe, though I stand and the sound goes straight through my bones. singing, floating and free. We can hover silent and listen closely. Let us see, light in the night, find it, but I had to believe. Where was our home? Well, our home was in tears. Home is crude, like a bag, they'd be memory for years. Yet their lives are lasting, they should be fantastic, should be expanded.
You've been listening to the Counting the Beat Silver Scroll special, produced by Chris Walker for Waiheke Radio. For more information, visit countingthebeat.blogspot.com.